We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode and catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission. The
Score! This hour is brought to you by Team Hochberg. Visit their website, 56david.com. That's 56david.com.
Ladies and gentlemen, joining us now is a man who's got a massive brain.
Mike Florio.
He used to be a lawyer, then he decided to take his talents to the internet.
NBC Sports.
I'm sorry I'm late. I was talking to Robert Kraft.
That isn't the time for an airing of grievances.
Pro Football Talk.
I got a lot of problems with you people. Now, you're going to hear about it.
Mike Florio with Bernstein, Holmes, and Rahimi on Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
Let's talk some football with Mike Florio on the Circus Sports Illinois Hotline. Download the Circus Sports app today, twitch.tv/Chicago670thescore. Hello, Mike.
Hey, what's going on today?
Mike, thank you for joining us. How much trouble are the Falcons in?
Depends upon how aggressive the NFL chooses to be. This is one of those where it's going to be driven by the zeal with which the league investigates the situation, the transparency or lack thereof that we will have as to what ultimately happens. And at the end of the day, whatever the league chooses to do. Somebody asked me the other day, what's the league going to do to the Falcons? And the easy answer is whatever they want to do, because the league is never bound by concepts like precedent or consistency or fairness. They just make a decision and they move on to the next one. And they love to have that flexibility to basically, you know, spin the wheel, pick a punishment, have it influenced by factors unrelated to what the punishment should be, and move on to the next one. But if they want to be aggressive, you've got Kirk Cousins at his introductory press conference outlining, by my count, at least four different violations of the tampering rules, one involving the Bears. They actually had him involved after he agreed to terms with the Falcons and before anyone from the Falcons was allowed to speak directly to Darnell Mooney while they were still in that negotiating window. Cousins got on the phone with Mooney to close the deal. How does that happen if there aren't communications occurring with Cousins that shouldn't be happening?
Well, it also, it really makes your whole legal tampering period hype, which the league has very much leaned into and owned, not real. And I think that's a big problem with this, too, is it delegitimizes something that they have very much tried to make into something serious. And it's a clear, I think, pushback on that. But when you say it affects the Bears, I wonder how many positions on the Bears it actually affected. Think about the quarterback market and how the dominoes fell based on this move alone.
Well, I mean, you're absolutely right. And look, people have said to me, Cousins had already agreed to terms with the Falcons. Who cares if he talked to the trainer after he agreed to terms? Who cares if he talked to Ryan Pace, the director of player personnel, after he agreed to terms, but before he was allowed to have direct communications? Who cares about any of that? Well, I think the core unexplained issue is how did the Falcons get sufficiently comfortable to commit $100 million fully guaranteed to Kirk Cousins two and a half hours after the negotiating window opened? And apart from anything Cousins said publicly that looks like a tampering violation, I've been suspicious that the Falcons gathered information that they weren't allowed to gather to allow them to get comfortable to make that offer when they did, because Cousins otherwise would have had to decide to take the Vikings' best offer or watch them move on to Sam Darnold or someone else. So the clock is ticking loudly when we get to the negotiating window. And if the Falcons hadn't prearranged whatever evidence, intelligence, information they had to be comfortable in a guy with a torn Achilles tendon, that they would make that $100 million fully guaranteed offer, Cousins might have had to say, I can't wait around for you to get to the point where you're comfortable offering me something more than what the Vikings are offering. And he still might have been in Minnesota.
Mike, while we await the Bears press conference today where they tell us why there should be a public investment to help them build their new stadium, we are reacting to what the general manager said yesterday. And among other things, Ryan Poles said, it's going to be hard to make this roster. And I thought, ooh, okay. Well, that's the general manager telling me his team is good. Is it fair to say, all right, if your roster is tough to make, you're a playoff team?
I think that it does write a check that you better be ready to honor. Because if that roster is that hard to make, that means it's a good roster. That means it needs to be competitive, and it puts more pressure on the coach. I always watch for those little signs, because when a team isn't good, from one perspective, from the coach's perspective, well, the players aren't good enough. From the GM's perspective, the players are fine. So when the GM is saying it's going to be a tough roster to make, that's putting a little extra pressure on the head coach. And that's why it's always important for there to be equal accountability between GM and head coach. You can never, to have a properly functioning football operation, you can never have a situation where the coach thinks there's a way I can save myself and sacrifice the GM, and the GM thinks there's a way I can save myself and sacrifice the coach. Everybody stays, everybody goes. It can't be one or the other, or you do have these things that take away from having the best football team you can have.
What's the national perspective when it comes to whether or not the Bears are still rebuilding? We were talking about how the words rookie quarterback and not rebuilding anymore really don't go together. So in this case, it might be the exception, but I definitely want to hear your opinion.
Now, look, teams can, with a rookie quarterback, become high-end contenders right away. The Bengals were on track to doing that in Joe Burrow's rookie year. His second season, they made it to the Super Bowl and almost won it. If Aaron Donald doesn't get to Joe Burrow when he does, Jalen Ramsey had fallen down. Ja'Marr Chase was wide open for a potential game-winning touchdown in Super Bowl 56. You look at what the Texans did last year with C.J. Stroud. They went from being off the radar screen. They would have been the one team that most people would have said, that team's got no chance to make the playoffs in the AFC. And they won the division. C.J. Stroud had everything to do with it. You've got a Bears team that has shown flashes and signs of being highly competitive. The question is, can you stabilize the quarterback position? Can you get the production that you need out of it? And will that be paired with enough defensive performance to navigate a difficult division, win the division, or at least become one of the top three second place or third place teams to get a wild card berth? And I think it's fair to look at the Bears and say they better show that they can compete for a playoff spot, because I think there's going to be expectation this year that they will.
Mike, what did you think of the ESPN story on Bill Belichick?
Well, I thought that it was flimsy, to say the least, to pin the biggest revelation in the story, that Robert Kraft, the owner of the Patriots, when contacted by Arthur Blank, the owner of the Falcons, as Blank was doing his due diligence on whether to hire Belichick, that Kraft said to Blank, don't trust Belichick, or words to that effect. And it was attributed to an unnamed source who had gotten it from two other unnamed sources. I didn't go to journalism school. I've been learning this business trial and error for the last 23 years. I would have never gone forward with something like that. And if I would have gone forward with something like that, I would have fully expected to have been destroyed by others in the media. That was as flimsy of a report of that kind of significance that I've ever seen before. And I can't help but wonder whether or not they knew that that was the day, last Wednesday, that was the day that it was going to be announced that Belichick's going to be working with Pat McAfee's show and ESPN as part of the draft. We better fire this shot before he's actually officially part of the team, because it's going to look really awkward if we put this long read word salad out there that makes Belichick look bad after he's officially part of the team. And I can't help but wonder if we had a chance to get behind the curtain and see how the sausage was made. I wonder whether they pushed that thing forward even before it was ready.
Mike, we saw Amon-Ra St. Brown on Hard Knocks on HBO, able from memory to recite all of the receivers taken ahead of him in the draft. As of right now, 4 years, $120 million, $77 million guaranteed. He's the highest paid wide receiver for the moment in the NFL. It's a hell of a story.
It is a hell of a story, and we know how this game goes. The initial report paints one picture. Let's see what the deal is really worth. And look, it doesn't take much to be the highest paid player at that position in the NFL. That's one of the things that we realized recently when we took the reports of the deals and what they're widely regarded as and looked at the real numbers. Like Tyreek Hill, $30 million a year. It's not even close. It's never going to be $30 million a year. It's got a phony final year that drives the average to $30 million. The average, the real average at signing is south of $25 million per year. But that's how the game is played. And so I think at the end of the day, he will be the highest paid player at the position if we look at the new money on the extension. But I've already been told by my contract source, I've got a good source who always gets me the real details on all the key deals. I've already been told it's not $30 million a year. But it's still a hell of a story, and it shows one of the benefits of not being a first-round pick. If you're not a first-round pick and you become a star, you get paid faster. You got Justin Jefferson, 4 years in, no contract yet. CeeDee Lamb, 4 years in, no contract yet. Here's Amon-Ra St. Brown, 3 years in, but because next year's his contract year, there's no fifth-year option to be exercised, he got paid.
All right, I'm not just asking this because of my geographic origins here, but you mentioned CeeDee Lamb. What on earth are the Cowboys doing?
Look, nothing. I could take you all the way to the next hard break. I could probably take you to the end of the show. I have come to the conclusion that all this stuff about Jerry Jones, you'd be surprised at the size of the check that I would write if it guaranteed a Super Bowl win. I think that's all bogus. I think he is a carnival barker who is trying to get Cowboys fans to continue to step right up and open their wallets. And if they're not in driving distance of the stadium, to tune in and watch a team that hasn't even gotten to the NFC Championship since 1995. They are the most prominent and profitable team in all of the NFL because of Jerry Johnson's abilities as a snake oil salesman, not as a guy who has built a championship caliber team. And this year, his catchphrase, dating back to the Senior Bowl, when he was asked, are they considering changing things up and going all in and pushing the chips into the middle of the table and forgetting about the future? He said, we're all in. And they spent the last 3 months trying to change the meaning of all in to something else. Because, you know, they say action speaks louder than words. For the Cowboys, inaction speaks louder than words because they've done nothing. They're in a bad spot with the Dak Prescott contract, CeeDee Lamb contract, and the Michael Parsons contract. They can't go all in on anyone until they take care of those deals. The problem is the agents for those players know it. And the Cowboys always want to be able to like throw an arm around a guy and say, oh, shucks, let's take one for the team. And they haven't learned that doesn't work. It blew up with Ezekiel Elliott. It blew up with Dak Prescott. And when it comes to the Cowboys and their key players who need to be rewarded and kept, I have said this many times over the last 2 weeks. The Cowboys are cheap, they're short-sighted, and they're not nearly as smart as they think they are because that's the problem. They've got this logjam of guys that have leverage, and the Cowboys don't want to admit they have leverage, and they're stuck with Dak, CeeDee, and Micah. They can't go all in on anything until they fix that, and they're not willing to write the check necessary to fix it. And look at CeeDee Lamb now. You get the Amon-Ra St. Brown contract. You think that's going to make CeeDee Lamb cheaper or more expensive to sign? The longer you wait, it always gets more expensive, and the Cowboys refuse to learn that lesson.
I was shocked is not the right word because I figured eventually it would happen. I was a little surprised to see that Reggie Bush is getting his Heisman back as soon as today. What are your thoughts on that?
I think it's overdue. I think the moment that they opened the NIL floodgates and we recognized that, you know, this whole thing, everything about high-level college football is a walking, talking, living, breathing antitrust violation. Not only are we going to band together under the shield of the NCAA and agree that we're not going to give these guys anything more than tuition, room, board, and snacks. There's snacks. Don't forget, they get snacks. Beyond that, you can't even make any money off of your name, your image, your likeness. You're prevented from that because we have to have amateur sports. We have to have this purity of amateur competition that the fans tune in to watch amateurs play. What a load of crap. It is justified this blatant violation of the antitrust laws for years. The reckoning has come. Giving up on the NIL thing was a no-brainer for the NCAA because they knew that they were violating the law. It became clear to them and everyone else that this can't stand. So the moment that they threw in the towel on NIL, yeah, give Reggie Bush his Heisman back, because all he did was get benefits from his, through his family, from a group that had designs on representing him when he got to the NFL. So absolutely, he should have had it back. I'm surprised it took that long. And I mean, maybe Johnny Manziel was the voice of reason. He said not that long ago, he's not showing up for any more Heisman Trophy presentations until Bush gets his trophy back. And maybe Johnny Football helped get it done.
Did they literally take the trophy? Did he have to surrender it? Or was it in his house the whole time and they said, well, it really doesn't count, it's just not official?
I think he ultimately surrendered it, but that's a great question. I never got the impression that his attitude was, who cares, I'm keeping it. Because that would have been a story. Hey, you got to give back your Heisman Trophy. I'm not giving it back. Tough crap.
Right, but it's come not like there's it. Like no, private Heisman police no, that are going to come
they took
bust
his,
it.
They took his trophy.
They went, they he, actually yes, took it?
Yes.
Heisman Trophy Repo Man showed up.
That's hilarious.
Well, and then the scuttlebutt.
I remember saying at the time they should have boxed it up and sent it to Vince Young.
That was the scuttlebutt in Austin.
The second place guy.
That's what they were saying in Austin, was that, okay, well, if you really took it, then give it to Vince Young. And then that didn't happen. So
wouldn't that be awkward now? They have to go take it back from Vince Young and give it back to Reggie. It's good they never gave it to Vince.
Vince has a sense of humor. There might be something entertaining if that were all to happen. I'd be curious to hear what Vince thinks too. But if nobody else is going to get it, it might as well go to the guy who got it. And Pete Carroll should have something to say about this as well.
There's some hope that sanity will eventually prevail in college football. They really have, for decades, gotten away with exploiting the athletes. And there's always this pushback. Oh, you don't value an education? Well, yeah, there's value in an education. But when what you're generating for that school is dramatically more valuable than what it's costing them to let one more guy not go to class, there's something wrong with that picture.
Never forget that for an entire generation of Southern Californians, USC was the pro team and still is.
Absolutely. Oh, absolutely. And they long for the days when USC gets back to what Pete Carroll had them doing. And that's the thing. You can take away the titles. You can take away the wins. They still won those championships. That doesn't change anything. But it would be nice if they'd restore those victories. I saw Dan Patrick was making that argument earlier today. Why not restore those victories? If we're not going to sweat the violation, why not put everything back to where it was?
Mike, as always, we appreciate you. Thank you so much for your time, and everyone's loving the Legos behind you.
Thank you so much. Ghostbusters Firehouse, baby.
That's Mike Florio. You can check him out at Pro Football Talk. There's a lot going on today. Like, we're getting text messages from our people on the ground at the Bears event. And
too
when
much
we,
sports.
Yeah, there's
too
a lot sports. Of sports. Do you guys want to do a little White Sox stuff in this next segment?
Fine.
It was pretty hilarious how things turned out yesterday.
We laughing out loud. Like actual LOL socks yesterday.
They're cursed.
No, they're just bad.
I don't know, man. I think it's both.
There's one particular
like team.
No one does. By the way, Obvious Shirts has that shirt. Obvious Shirts has a great little section of White Sox shirts right now.
They did not make I Don't Like Our Team.
Yes, they did, with the pinwheels and everything.
Oh, God.
So, you know, if you're a White Sox fan that wants to protest, Obvious Shirts has got some shirts for you. Just saying. Go look. They don't pay me or nothing. Just, I was hip to it by our friends over at BBM. They're like, have you seen these? And I was like, no.
What happens if somebody wears that inside the park?
There's probably more security people than people that are going to go to the park at this point.
The scene in Minnesota last night wasn't great either.
They're not very good, but they were better than the White Sox last night. And there's one particular player that I want to talk about because I am interested in him and his development curve. But I think that there's a legitimate problem, which was a problem before, that it's rearing its ugly head.
I also have something up my sports craw.
What's up yours? That's That's what Eberflus would say. We'll talk about
you
all of
that.
You're
too mean to him sometimes.
But he said that.
I know.
I don't know. What's up yours?
See? Thanks, Studs, for having my back.
Oh, I know he said it.
I'm going to go warm up my tea. And then we're going to spill the tea.
We're going to get my cold coffee.
On the
cold
White Sox.
Cold like my soul.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Now with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission. You're listening to Bernstein and Holmes, middays 10 to 2 on Sports Radio 670 The Score. In Odyssey Station, Odyssey Station, Odyssey Station.
Look, Jimenez deep to left. Is it fair? It is gone! Let's go! Eloy Jimenez with a three-run shot. He just owns Pablo Lopez.
I wish I loved anything that much.
Yeah. Okay. So that was fun. And that was courtesy NBC Sports Chicago. That was when things are looking better for the White Sox. And then you realize, oh, yeah, they're the White Sox. So the manager brings in their closer in the eighth and the setup guy in the ninth.
That's the thing,
man. And then
they
bitch at the umpires and the game's over and they lose.
We got to stop this whole eighth inning business if you really want him to be an actual closer. At first I was kind of into it, but now I'm like, nah, this is tedious and bad.
I think that had he done a better job in the eighth inning that he was coming out for the ninth, which I also think is a problem. This idea of this six out closer. Pedro's done it multiple times already this year of like, oh, well, I'll put Kopech out there, and if he succeeds, then we'll allow him to pitch the ninth.
He's not the person to try this with.
He's the person that I wanted to talk about, too, because...
That was up my craw. We have the same issue.
Oh, good. Why don't you talk about your craw first, and then I'll get into my craw.
It's not appropriate for broadcast. So my sports craw is this. What are you doing? Michael Kopech was already adjusting. There is a mental adjustment that you have to make in closing. He's talked about it himself. So then you want to reinvent the position for the guy who's being reinvented? No! Only one reinvention at a time.
So as it stands right now...
And P.S., it's not working.
In two of the last three outings that Michael Kopech has had in the eighth inning, something really bad has happened.
Catastrophic.
One of them is what we talk about often. What did you term it? Is that the Holmes doctrine?
No, that's fade the Sox.
Don't throw fastballs to Salvador Perez.
Well, that specifically, yes. That is the Holmes edict, I believe.
Holmes edict.
I think it's just called common sense.
You would think, but they continue to do it, and that was one of the reasons Kopech threw a 97-mile-per-hour fastball to Salvador Perez, who went up there looking for a 97-mile-per-hour fastball, and then hit it 390 feet.
What did we mention yesterday in our conversation with Ian Happ? The stuff that Joe Sheehan is tracking about how the drop in success on contact is tracking in large part to two things. It's tracking to outfielders playing deeper, and it's tracking to fewer four-seam fastballs because most damage is done on four-seam fastballs.
Correct.
And that's what Kopech throws.
And this is what I wanted to talk about. When Kopech was moved to the bullpen, there were people who rejoiced because there were some people who considered him a closer choice because of his makeup. I think that there is a little old school money ball scouting going on there, too, where Kopech throws hard.
One team.
He should be at the back of the bullpen. One of Kopech's problems is the lack of development of secondary and tertiary pitches.
No doubt.
And the idea is that that's mitigated when you're pitching out of the bullpen. One of the, for me at least, I think one of his issues is his fastball is straight. So even if he is getting you 98, 99, 100, there's not a lot of late movement on it, and mediocre to good hitters can go, oh, okay, I've seen it now.
Ask Daniel Palencia about that.
Like, I've seen it now.
That's the fatal flaw for any relief pitcher is Ozzie the fastball doesn't have enough movement. That's it, man.
And now people can just, they can go, similar to on the other extreme when we're talking about Kyle Hendricks and the changeup, an opposing hitter with Michael Kopech can go, he's throwing me the fastball. So I'm just going to get ready for that. And if he throws it past me, fine. But I'm ready for it. He's got to really develop and learn how to trust a secondary pitch and maybe a tertiary pitch. He is not there right now, and I think it makes him more hittable, which is part of the reason why I wanted the experiment of him as starter to continue.
Yeah, because you can work off your fastball in a way that makes more sense.
You can try and develop more pitches and end up being more valuable. The other thing is the White Sox don't even necessarily need a high leverage arm in their bullpen. They might be better served by having, and I get it, like the problems with Kopech are legion, and I'm sure the White Sox are just trying to figure out the best way for him to fulfill the rest of his contract with the White Sox. I get that, but I still look at the idea of what if you could develop a starter that someone would want. That's how I look at it. And I would say, Michael, this is the year, or I would have said, it's probably too late now. This is the year where you're taking the ball every fifth day. We are putting no caps on you. You're not going to magically like disintegrate into dust at 150 innings. We are expecting you to give us 180 innings. We're going to give you every opportunity to give us 180 innings this year. Here's the ball, big fella. Go do what you need to do, and whatever help you need, we are here for it.
And that's what I thought was going to happen after the end of last season, that maybe that was something that they wanted to do for that season specifically when they still had something on the line. But there's no reason that he shouldn't get that opportunity. You know that I have said, even from the very beginning, that I liked the Eric Fetty signing. And it actually is working out.
He's been pretty good.
I do know why. I thought it made sense. He knew the personnel who were in charge. He had a good history with Brian Bannister. Like that, and for the team and their need specifically, I thought that was a good signing. I'm very happy to see that that worked out, at least on his end. He's doing what he can. But that's why, to me, there isn't pressure this season. You need to figure out who you're going to be. Why wouldn't they give him that time? And frankly, if Ethan Katz is that dude, then I'm not saying be a miracle worker, but I am saying what's the best opportunity to let that person figure out who they're going to be?
Maybe we're finding out, and I'm not trying to throw shade at Ethan Katz. He seems like a nice enough guy. Maybe he is a product of what were some very fortunate timing for him at the very privileged school that he was working at, to get those three starters at the time when he got those three starters that helped jumpstart his career.
Well, but also they're using a lot of his background as doctrine. Like that, don't you remember James Pegan telling us that was a big reason Clevinger was on the team was because he had experience with Ethan Katz?
Right.
That was a deciding factor.
We know why Clevinger's on the team.
There are things that we can't say about why we believe that Clevinger is on the team.
But that was also a part of it. So I'm saying, how big is his influence? And if that's the case, then what can you do here?
Well, that's the larger question about anything regarding the White Sox. Because I think you're really past the point of doing much of anything. You already have all these 4A players here. when you've got Paul DeJong and Kevin Pillar, even Andrew Benintendi now is really not playing at a level that is indicative of a major league player at all.
Had a big hit last night, though.
Yeah, and then he screwed up on the defensive play late when he takes a question mark. Right, absolutely the exact wrong read, which completely took him out. That ball was in the air long enough where if a guy who can't throw also can't cover ground and can't get a read, what are we doing?
He's a
win under replacement level already.
If you don't like your team, and that was the biggest free agent signing in your team's history, and really an earmark for the previous regime, why aren't you trying to trade that guy?
Nobody wants him.
But you know what I'm asking. Yeah, why isn't that part of the discussion? That's why I ask.
What are we doing? What is the goal of the White Sox this year? What is their goal this year?
It seems like
no concept.
I said on opening day. Remember, guys? I was like, I don't know what we're doing.
Right.
I think their goal is to bottom out, but I think that's an antiquated way of going about doing this because of the changes to the draft.
Uh-huh.
I think that's a very sexy way to talk about, well, we have to get bad to get good. No, you don't. You could spend money. You could have spent money this past offseason and gotten appreciably better. You chose to go the route of, we're going to really cut payroll to the bone. And what they're going to try to say, like through proxies, is the reason that they're cutting payroll to the bone is that they want to really get to the studs of this whole thing, and they want to bottom out, and then they're gonna work to get better.
Project Birmingham. Then they're all coming.
But it's probably more accurate to say that you're cutting payroll because you got issues with your RSN. Also, because your owner doesn't like to spend money. And unfortunately for the White Sox, they have also now given him more ammunition to not do that. He gets to go, wait a minute. I just doled out $75 million for an outfielder who can't play the outfield, who can't throw, and who can't hit for power.
And your previous richest free agent contract is going to play for another team, and you help support that financially right now.
And you had the richest contract with the catcher. You had a catcher who couldn't catch, and then you signed another catch. He did it last night.
Lazy.
Catch the ball.
Wait, instead of going crosshand,
yes.
That lazy move trying to pick it across, slide your right side out, square it up, and knock that ball down with your chest.
And you guys ask what a manager does. All right, let me ask you this. If that were contending, let's start with this. If that were not a 3-20 team, would that activity be happening out of a 37-year-old catcher who's there because of just that? He's 0-24? No. Your manager wouldn't put up with that, and that wouldn't be happening. You want to know what difference a manager makes? Somebody's having a discussion there, and I don't know if you're in the lineup the next day. Let's start with that base example of what difference a new manager can make.
Your catcher that you signed is hitting under 100. I think he's hitting like 0.50 or something like that right now.
And those guys don't come cheap, by the way.
And your whole idea was, well, here's a veteran catcher who's going to help our pitching staff. He's not a good framer, and he's not catching the ball. So, again, like Benintendi, you have a player that is playing a position where there are certain things that are expected. You don't have to be a great left fielder to be a great left fielder. But you can't be all of the things. You can't be the guy who doesn't hit for power, the guy who can't throw, and the guy who can't take efficient routes to the baseball. You can't be all three of those things. If you're Maldonado, you can't be the catcher who can't hit, the catcher who doesn't frame, and the catcher who can't catch. What good are you? For either one of those guys, what good are you as a player if you can't do those things? And they were all ready to get Lee up out of here for this, when that's actually the type of player who should be playing every day.
It should be developed.
It's stupid stuff like that this is what I mean by you have a general manager who's not ready to take the job, and that Pedro should be fired on principle. It's the fact that he walked in to a team that was supposed to do much better, a team with expectations, and they had one of their worst seasons. And then you followed it up when you had a whole year to put in whatever it is that you're supposed to be doing, your type of baseball, you follow that up with performances that aren't just bad because the players are not great players. We have seen them have a lack of execution on rundowns. Guys are not hitting cutoff men. Guys are not taking proper routes to the ball. Guys do not have a good approach at the plate. All of that stuff is under the purview of the manager. And it is worth the White Sox going, this guy doesn't know what he's doing. Get him up out of here.
This is also after the general manager was given the job, was gifted a job for which he's not qualified because the owner wanted him to hit the ground running.
Correct.
Because the owner said, we're not going to take the time that another person would need to be able to do what we have to do. And here he's on the job and doing nothing other than overseeing one of the most embarrassing performances by any professional Chicago team in recent memory.
High Noon is next.
Bear.
What do you got? Oh, that's right.
Bear. I have Bear.
What do you got?
I have Don't Be This Person When the Time Comes This Summer.
All right. What's next?
Dan Bernstein, Lawrence Holmes, middays 10 to 2 on 670 The Score and 670thescore.com in Odyssey Station.
I'll be back this way on Monday. We'll settle this then. Right there, out in the street, in front of the Palace Saloon.
Yeah, right. When? High Noon?
Here we are at High Noon on a Wednesday. That means the middle of your work week. So after this, then you're just coasting on into what could be a lovely spring weekend.
Tomorrow is a big day, Dan. We're not coasting into anything.
Tomorrow is when the Bears draft Caleb Williams and Roel Dunze. So Bears, that should be fun. Bears, yes, indeed. And we discussed the Bears. And today in this press conference that is going to be the Bears and their lobbyists asking for your money to build their stadium. And my thought is, no. You use your money to build your stadium, and there will be better uses of our taxpayer money than just helping you build your stadium. We revisited some things that Ryan Poles said yesterday and also talked about the interesting timing, the coincidental timing of this injury to Kyle Hendricks, when it also happens to be that he's just not a very good pitcher anymore. And we talked to Mike Florio, and then we discussed what the White Sox are doing. I don't really think there's a good answer.
Well, of all the days, I had to go with this story for High Noon. Tourist mauled after rolling down window to take selfie with bear.
Good.
Quote, I thought he wanted to be friends, the victim's friend said of the wild bear. It wasn't just any bear, guys. It was a mom bear with her cub.
Oh.
What? No! Hard no!
Does it mention what kind of drugs this person was on?
Yeah, that's a very good question. And
cocaine bear?
Wanted to be friends. Yeah.
Bears.
A Scottish tourist is thankful to be alive. Maura Gallagher, 72. She's 72. It was vacationing in Romania with her friend. I'm not even going to try to say this name. I can't pronounce anything Scottish. The women decided to go back for a drive through the Carpathian.
If it's not Scottish, it's crap.
But here's also a red flag. The Carpathian Mountains. Isn't that like connected to Ghostbusters? Isn't that a thing?
Yes, Vigo the Carpathian.
Yeah, so that's another red flag here to me.
Just do the thing, Dan.
Found out about Vigo, the master of evil. Try to battle my boys. That's not legal.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
As a child, I thought there was validity to Ghostbusters 2. I regret that thought every day of my life.
It's a great movie.
So,
and the Deadspin article about the actor who played him, Norbert Gruppe, is an incredible saga. Incredible. Well worth your time.
Oh, I'm very interested.
Norbert, also a great movie.
So the friend with the long Scottish name said, we saw these bears, a mummy bear and a baby, and they were gorgeous. Yeah. This is what I'm talking about, guys. It's the dichotomy of bears being very cute but also terrifying.
Yeah.
But the fuzziness gets you. You think the nose is so boopable, but if you boop the nose, you will die.
Do we really not know this? The bears are a bad matchup.
The bear came and wanted to get into the car, she said, but he started getting into the car and bit my friend.
Yeah, so it's a bear.
So the friend thinks her incredibly insulated jacket that she had on was saving her arm. They seem very calm about all of this, and she said she was a very lucky woman. Are you lucky, though? Because you put yourself in that situation.
I'd go with stupid.
Can I interrupt High Noon for just a second?
Bear?
It does have to do with the bears.
Is this our governor?
Yeah, this is from my buddy Ben Bradley, my classmate at HF. He tweets, 1 hour before it's unveiled, Governor Pritzker throws cold water on the Bears' new stadium plan. Quote, I remain skeptical, and I wonder whether it's a good deal. There are a lot of priorities, and I'm not sure this is among the highest priorities for taxpayers.
Interesting.
Close quote.
Somebody is looking out for the money that we all will pay.
And this is the guy who, when he took over, said one of his priorities was to take Illinois' bond status out of the junk bin.
And he did that.
Improve the rating, and he's done so.
And he wants to be president in the next cycle.
What's above junk?
Well, B, and then, but I think it's up within the A's now.
Yeah, it's A, triple. I know there's AAA. AAA. Man,
sometimes a supple back.
We're at A minus in this state right now.
Is above junk?
We're at A minus? Yep.
Junk in the trunk.
A2, Brute.
I wasn't talking about you. I was talking about Pam.
So that's it, really. Just, you know, don't boot bears' noses. Things are going to happen.
All right, don't be this person, too, because this is going to be us. Emerging cicadas are so loud in one South Carolina county that residents are calling the sheriff's office asking why they can hear sirens or a loud roar. The Newberry County Sheriff's Office sent out a Facebook message yesterday letting people know the whining sound is just the male cicadas singing to attract mates after more than a decade of being dormant. Some people have even flagged down deputies to ask what the noise is all about. There's a reason that cicada singing is compared to jet engine noise. It is dangerously loud. It is going to be dangerously loud. We know this.
What's the point of them?
And what's the point
to live and propagate
of any living being?
To live and propagate.
Cicadas specifically. You spend a lot of time underground, and then you're only above ground for a little bit, and birds eat you. This seems kind of...
Birds and other animals and fish and all that stuff. I think the fishing community is very concerned about some fish getting overfed.
Oh, yeah.
Get your cicada on. Drop down and get your cicada on, girl.
Dogs and cats, they like to bite them.
They're yummy. Cicadas are yummy.
But that's my point here, guys. What are they doing?
They're breeding.
That seems to be the central question about everything that we're talking
about
today.
The White Sox, the 17-year cicadas.
Oh, yeah. I am eldest daughter mood right now. I'm like, everybody's not doing what they're supposed to.
Door slam.
We're about to do something that we're supposed to.
The cicadas are doing what they're supposed to. But I need you to explain more about why you're here.
Draft week, you know what we're supposed to do?
What?
Who's your guy?
Ooh, yes. I love this part.
So guess what?
Are you going to call in again and fool me?
I don't know what you're talking about.
Guess what? We're going to do who's your guy. Like in the next segment.
Yes.
So if people wanted to call at 312-644-6767... and they had a guy that they wanted to talk to us about for the draft, they could do that starting... Did you do the thing?
I didn't do the thing. Wait, where's my thing?
Your guy cannot be the stadium.
Hold on. There.
Starting right now, 312-644-6767 is the number. Who's your guy? Bernstein, Holmes, Rahimi. Got you covered. Next!
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Now with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app.
Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.